Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam. I know it's been a long time since I've done a recording. God has just been doing so much, and I am so thankful and so blessed for all that he has done. Just to give an update, I think last time you guys knew that God got a hold of my son, and we did an episode, and you could hear his testimony. After that, God continued to work. My wife and I, who have had division for decades in our home, and just continued to get worse, as you know, light creates division. As Jesus said in the gospel, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. A sword to a man's family. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. And light divides. It creates tension when two people don't come into unity of the one faith. It creates some, you know, real tension, spiritual tension. And yet you can have people who both claim to be Christians but yet not really have Christ in their heart, and they'll still have tension. But it's just because of the sin in each other's hearts. It's not because it's a war over the things of God. And God did a work through my son. And she found the truth. And so her and I have been having fellowship together. And God instantly broke down the dividing wall. And so I'm just extremely thankful to my God, who did a wonderful work in the life of my wife and in her heart as she submitted the truth. And so now we have two more children left, my other college age son and my high school daughter. And God will complete the work. He's a faithful God. Also from that, God has been doing a lot more work. He's connecting me with other people. Just recently, in this past week, we've had five more people come to God, give their lives. Just, it's so simple. When you accept the truth, it happens immediately. One conversation, done. And these are people who got to the point where they're just like, you know what? I need freedom from my sin. I don't know what else to do. And I did that with one young man, and he received the truth. He's living free. He has power. And then another man that reached out to me, and he's down in Brooklyn. I spoke to him, and he also received the new heart, new spirit. God said that I'm to go down to Brooklyn and baptize him. I'll be doing that this Saturday. And also his wife, who also accepted the truth. And God has changed their lives. And we'll have to get him on an episode so you can listen to his testimony. And then another man down in Florida. I had the opportunity to discuss with him, and he wanted to accept the truth. We went, we prayed together. We also went before God together. And then also his wife. And so George, the man who God called to be an elder and to help shepherd the church down in southern Georgia, that God sent me down and directed me to do that in September, God directed that he will be the one that will go drive down to Florida and baptize the man and his wife, who also accepted the truth, down in Florida. And again, water baptism isn't, that's not what changes us. That's simply an obedience of what God commands. What changes us is the Spirit of God, as he gives us a new heart and a new spirit when we come to his truth. And so God has been extremely active. And during all this, which the episode we're going to be doing today, again, looking at the deceptions of the devil and how he tries to deceive, and that we need to be on guard for these things, and also be aware of the tricks and attacks that he does. It is a spiritual warfare. And today I want to go through Job and look at some examples. And as we go through Job, I'm also going to share some examples of things that have been going on this past 2 months. And some of the spiritual warfares that we have been warring against in the spiritual realm. Because people need to understand. Also, God is doing a wonderful work out in Kenya. There's a lot of deception that the devil was seeking to do to create some confusion. And God has exposed that out in Kenya. And there's now five men that are unified. And God is increasing the spiritual gifts that he has given to them. One of the great joys was one of the gifts, the gift of prophecy that he gave one of the men. He's now using it. And he is going before the throne room of God so that he isn't being deceived by the devil, which the devil seeks to deceive through false prophets and give false messages of God. But God gives the truth. So how do you know? We'll be talking about that too, probably a separate episode that we do on prophets. But as some of the stuff comes up, I will share it because it's very important for people to be aware of these things. So let us open up in prayer and we'll get started. Father, I come before you, O God, you who are holy, holy, and holy, the Lord God Almighty, who is, and who was, and who is to come. All things exist for your glory, O Father, and by your hand, by your mercy and your grace, you've brought an opportunity of redemption to mankind. Only if they're willing to accept the work that you have done in Jesus. Only if they're willing to understand and accept the impossible work and to lose their life. Father, as you know, there's a lot of people who they'll accept the forgiveness of sins, but they don't understand that it also costs them their life. That you desired a man to deny self, pick up his cross, and follow after you. To be willing to lose everything. But people aren't being taught that. That, Father, you want to change a man's desire. How can a man's desires be changed if they still want to hold on to different things of the world? Could be a career. Pride, position, status, possessions, hobbies, friends. And yet, Father, we know when you change a man's heart, you remove all darkness. You put holiness, your will to be done in their life. That requires a change of the will, a change of the desires of the heart. And yet people aren't understanding that's what they're asking for. And yet you are not going to change the heart of a man against his will. But people aren't being taught. And they also don't know that you want to remove and cleanse them from all sin, just as what your word says. People out there are saying that they can't be freed from all sin or cleansed from all sin. These are the things that prevent you, Father, from accomplishing your good purpose and will because people aren't coming in the true faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command demons to flee that are in the presence of anyone that will be listening to this podcast, that their mind can be still to listen to your words as we go through and look at some of your instruction in the book of Job. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Job. Many people understand the book of Job, but let's point out some key truths, some key things. First, as we've done episodes on that God commands us to be holy and blameless, we are to be. Job was a man who walked blameless before God. Let's listen to the story about Job in Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, turning away from evil. Let's look at that for a second, turning away from evil. You see, evil will come and find you. Evil will surround you. We're a light in a dark world. We're going to be surrounded by darkness, but our light is to be shining and exposing it. The devil, he went and sought out Christ to deceive him, to tempt him with words, putting those thoughts into his mind to tempt him. When anyone speaks to you or the devil speaks to you, where do the words go as someone's speaking? Into your mind? Into your heart? Question is then, what do you do with those things? Do you identify and recognize them as not being your own? Do you cast them out? Or do you still have a heart that has sin that dwells in it, and your own thoughts and desires from the heart of sin that dwells within you? It kind of is attracted to the things of wickedness that Satan brings near you, or even puts those thoughts into your heart to stir up the lustful desires that exist in your own wicked heart. We must be aware of these things. Now, Job, he had a good heart. He had the Spirit of God. He was able to be blameless and upright because he had found God. He was able to turn away from evil when he recognized it and not participate in it, not walk in it. Now it goes on, talks about that he had 7 sons, 3 daughters were born to him. He had great possessions and servants. He was one of the greatest men of all the East, as you keep reading. And it talked about his sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite the 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. That's in verse 4. And then in verse 5, it came about that when the days of feasting had completed their cycle, Job would send and consecrate them, rising up early in the morning, offering burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "Perhaps my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continuously. Do you notice that he's doing burnt offerings, sacrifices, yet the law of Moses hadn't been given? Well, again, if you do a study of the Word of God, you'll find sacrifices existed all the way back with Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Noah, the other men, Abraham. These things existed before the law was given through Moses. See, God has always required the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sin, the atonement of sin. Back then, God gave the rituals, but he only gave 2 commands, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those were all the 2 commands for which the Mosaic law is based upon. As Jesus said, in those 2 commandments is fulfilled the entire law. Now, the other aspect of the blood sacrifice that was required for atonement of sin, it's always been required. But God didn't want continued sacrifice. He wanted people to obey his voice, to do his will, as it says in the book of Hebrews. So I just wanted to point that out. Job knew that that was required. That's why he did it. Because the people knew that because God had revealed it to them. Now, let's get to the deception of Satan. Verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And again, that's Yahweh, the proper name of God, the Father. And Satan also came among them and said, or came among them. And Yahweh said to Satan, "From where do you come from?" Satan answered Yahweh and said, "From roaming about on the earth and walking around on it." And Yahweh said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth. A blameless and upright man." This is what God is saying about him. Fearing God and turning away from evil. Not doing evil. No, turning away, keeping his hand from evil. As we read about in the Psalms, about who are those that are actually truly righteous. We've done episodes on those. Are you righteous? Would God call you righteous? Go listen to it. See if God would actually call you righteous according to his standard. Don't listen to the liars. Verse 9, Satan answered Yahweh, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? Have you not blessed the work of his hands? His possessions have increased in the land? Now, put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." God will give protection, spiritual protection, which results in physical protection from the enemy. As you see, Satan knew that Job possessed that. So Satan pointed that out. Take it away and see if he still serves you. And we know God also allows testing to happen to us, but nothing beyond what we can bear, so we'll stand up and overcome. So, What did God do? Verse 12. And Yahweh said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of Yahweh. So what is Satan able to do? We know he can put thoughts into our mind. We know he can seek to use the things around us in the world and attempt to try to stir up wicked desires in the heart of man if they still have a bad heart. Or he can seek to deceive people and trick them, like what he did with Adam and Eve. They didn't have any sin in their heart, but they still got deceived to then commit a sin by not obeying God. And yet they had a pure heart, just like Satan tried to deceive Christ. Christ had a pure heart. So you can have a pure heart, and Satan can twist or use words and attempt to deceive you to then make you disobey God, to bring sin into your heart. Now, for all of us who are born in the world today, we already have sin in our heart. So it's already there. So Satan, for people born in the world today, he doesn't even need to try to trick and deceive them. He can just simply appeal to the sin and the sinful desires and the lusts that currently dwell in a person's heart. Before I continue to read in Job, I'm convicted to share of a passage in 2 Peter. So let me turn to 2 Peter real quick. You see, in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3, says, seeing that his, referring to the Father's divine power, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, again referring to himself, the Father. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them we might become partakers of the divine nature. Did you know that you're supposed to become a partaker of the divine nature? You know, Christ was a partaker of the divine nature. You are supposed to be as well. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. You see, until you become a partaker of the divine nature, you cannot escape the corruption that is in the world by lust. Those are the things that we were supposed to have escaped. You know, the question is, were you ever spiritually crucified or baptized? I must point this out. In Romans chapter 6, someone who's been spiritually crucified. It says in chapter 6, verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be destroyed, so that we would no longer be slaves of sin. For the one who has died is freed from sin. He goes on to say, therefore, in verse 12, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lust. Not supposed to happen anymore. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and the members of your body as instruments of righteousness to God. What desires do we have? You see, and in Galatians, I turn over to Galatians chapter, I think it's 5. Bear with me. And in Galatians chapter 5, when it talks about these desires of the flesh, it says in verse 16, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For they're opposites. The flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. Verse 18, he says, if you are led by the Spirit of God, then you are not under the law. And he goes on to talk about the difference between the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of the flesh. It says in the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. There's no law against those things. Because they don't break the law. They don't sin. There are no sinful desires in those. Why? Verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Has that happened? Are those still alive in you? Back to Job. So then the Lord said, Yahweh said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Do not put your hand forth on him. So let's see what Satan's able to do. Well, in verse 13, it says, now it happened on that day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine with their oldest brother in their house, that a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were eating and plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them. They also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Well, now look at that. Now, you see, we know that sometimes God can bring a nation and stir a nation to come and destroy. We saw that with the Babylons. The Babylons and how they attacked and destroyed Judah. And they came and ransacked Jerusalem because of judgments, because the people were wicked and disobedient to God. So God made that happen. But also, God can allow Satan. Well, Satan always wants to do those things. God puts a restraint on him. But Satan can do the same thing. Satan can move in the heart of other people to move them, convict them in their mind, to stir up their heart to want to go and attack, to pillage, to kill, to steal. Do you see that? Satan did that. Satan moved those people to do that. How do you think they were moved? In their mind? Just as the Bible says, people pay attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. There is a huge spiritual warfare, people. The battle is in the mind. That's why the Bible repeatedly talks in different places about the renewing of your mind and the Word. Because the devil's always trying to tear down and distort and trick the Word of God into saying something that it's not, by getting people to lie about the Word of God, to deceive. Remember, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Satan comes, he preaches Christ. He preaches the gospel. He preaches the Holy Spirit, just not in truth. He comes as an angel of light, as an apostle of Christ, but not in truth. He still brings with it sin. He gets people to sin. That's not the work of Christ. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. What master are you following? What deeds do you do? As we keep reading, in verse 16, while he was still speaking, another came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Well, here, these people thought that it was the fire of God that did that. But God turned them over to Satan. Satan did these things. Now, Satan can only do that which God allows. You see, Satan could not do any of these things while God still had his hedge of protection around Job. But God allowed it to be removed, and now you can see some of the works that Satan can do. But God's sovereign. Satan can't do anything against his will. But don't be deceived. Satan can do these things. Do you not know in Revelation, the great man of lawlessness, when he comes, he's going to be able to do some of these signs? God's going to allow it. Not only that, God says he's going to send a delusion on all the people. Once you get to the time of the tribulation, anyone who hasn't accepted the truth, it's going to be very dangerous for them. Because God says he himself will send a lie, a blinding delusion over people so that they believe what is false. Part of it is to give the power to the man of lawlessness to fulfill all things of prophecy. People need to wake up. Read the book of Revelation. It talks about the signs that are going to be coming. Look at the seals. When you start seeing those things happening, you know you're getting close to the beginning of the 7-year period. Don't wait till it's too late to make a decision for Christ if you haven't. And for those of you who still struggle with sin, I pray that the fear of God convicts you, that you better figure out how to get right with God so you can live like Job did, be imitators of Christ as we're commanded to in the scripture. Continuing in Job, verse 17. While he was still speaking, another one came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands and made raids on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." So again, the devil moving the hearts of the wicked to go and perform wicked deeds. Steal, kill. Verse 18, while he was still speaking, another came in and said, "Your sons, your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people and they died. And I alone have escaped to tell you." So here again, Satan can control winds. And he caused the house to fall. And it killed. If it wasn't for the mercy of God and the restraint that God puts on the work of Satan, imagine how much more calamity could happen in the world. But there is a lot of bad things that happen. I was asked the other day by somebody about why do bad things happen to good people? I said, well, let's just be clear first. Number one, a lot of people think they're good or they're righteous. And I think about the passage, I think it's in Luke, where Jesus talks about what appears to be right good people versus wicked people. Because everybody seems to think that everyone's good. Well, in the eyes of man, they may seem like they're righteous people, but in the eyes of God, until you get a new heart and new spirit and you're cleansed of sin with a pure heart, and you can walk in righteousness and be imitators of Christ, walk in light as the Father is light, having no darkness, being pure as Christ is pure, holy as your heavenly Father is holy in all your behavior, the things that the Bible commands us to do, not by our own work or effort, we can't, but when God changes us, God can by His strength. Well, listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 13. "Now, on the same occasion, there came some present who reported to Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate mixed with the sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate?'" Okay, so the point is, these people were going and they wanted to, with their sacrifices, serve God. But Pilate mix their blood. It looks like, right? Whatever with this. I don't know if it's implying that they killed, but obviously it was a great offense. To the point where Jesus says, "Do you suppose that these people were greater sinners than the rest of them because they suffered this fate?" Now, in the eyes of the world, if you had like some mass murderer and something bad happened to him, people would be like, "Oh yeah, he deserved it." Then they look at somebody who's like a firefighter or someone over here who they think has a noble cause and living a moral life, and they say, "Oh, well, how could this bad thing happen to that person?" People, do you realize that sin is sin in the eyes of God? He hates all sin. Any sin will cause you to be guilty, to be thrown into hell. Jesus said, "I tell you, no." No, there is no, a sinner is a sinner. It's all the same judgment. He says, "But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." He said, yeah, that terrible tragedy that happened. Yeah, you who think you're a righteous person, or you who think that you're moral in the eyes of God, you're going to perish too if you don't repent. God shows no partiality. Again, he says, "Or do you suppose that the 18 people on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them?" So you had this building that just suddenly apparently collapsed. It killed 18 people. "Do you think they were worse culprits or sinners than the men who live in Jerusalem?" She said, no, no, it doesn't matter. But unless you repent, you also will likewise perish. You guys starting to understand? God's ways and judgments are different than man's. All mankind is despicable in his eyes and will be condemned to hell if they don't come in repentance and get a new heart and a new spirit. If they cannot come to be freed from sin, as Jesus said, the one who still commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave doesn't get to remain in the house forever. That's in John chapter 8, starting in verse 29, speaking to those who had believed in him and they didn't understand. And Jesus later calls them that they're still sons of their father, the devil. So, what did Job do when all this calamity happened? Verse 20, then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, and he worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return there. Yahweh gave me, or Yahweh has given, and Yahweh has taken away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. So then what does Satan do next in chapter 2? He comes again. And in verse 3, Yahweh said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, fearing God, turning away from evil. He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause. So Satan answered Yahweh and said, aha, skin for skin, yes, that's all that a man has, he will give for his life. Put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. So Yahweh said to Satan, behold, he is in your power. Only spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of Yahweh and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And apparently it must have been a very painful experience. And he was sitting among the ashes. In verse 9, his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. Do you think the wife was a godly woman? Do you think God put those thoughts into her mind? No. No, see, that's the work of Satan. Satan puts those thoughts into people's mind. That's why God commands us to take captive thoughts. We'll cover that in the next episode when we talk about the spiritual warfare and how to overcome these things. But I want people to be aware of the things that Satan does. What did Job say in verse 10? But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Now Satan was able to inflict physical punishment, physical suffering, disease in his skin. Well, we know that Satan can cause spiritual infirmities. We saw that when Jesus was in the synagogue. You had the woman that was bent over. She was possessed by a demon that had caused her to be bent over with her physical deformity of her back. God caused her to be healed, released, commanded the demon to flee, and she was unbound. We know other times, people who were mute couldn't speak or couldn't hear because of demons. The demons can cause physical infirmities. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I'll give you some example here. People are familiar with Jesus casting out demons and physical infirmities being gone because they're caused by it. Here you can see that Job caused this. So let me give you some examples. There's several times when we have been in prayer for other people, because it's through prayer and supplication that God moves through the prayers of his saints, true Christians. And he'll respond to those prayers. God works through the body to accomplish his will through the church. Does it not say that God says he will do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us? Does not God talk about through prayer of saints, we can bind and loose things in heaven? So there are several times we've been praying for people. We command demons to flee from the presence of around the people that we're witnessing or praying over. And at times we're in remote locations, again, praying for those people over the phone. Not only that the demons are not commanded to flee, so they can't just continue to assault the minds of the people as they're trying to understand the gospel with false thoughts against the knowledge of God, but also praying for their hearts, that the hardness of the heart be softened, that it'll be moved, as God talks about, you know, praying for people. God, you know, there's instructions and examples in the Word of God. And so many times when people go to pray, we've found within the body, and I've experienced it myself, that immediately I'll get like some freak massive headache or migraine or all of a sudden some pain. It's like, what is going on? Where is this coming from? I'm like, oh, that's right. Satan has dominion and authority to cause physical infliction. But greater he is he who is in us than he who is in the world. It's a spiritual warfare. So we simply command the demons to flee. And wouldn't you know it, immediately, instantaneously, these pains or inflictions are gone. Instantaneously. Now, sometimes a demon can leave that was causing it, and they can try to bring back other ones. And so sometimes you might have to do it more than once. But again, this is for people who have the Spirit of God in them. They have authority. Now, there's always exceptions. I'll cover those later in another episode. But for now, in general, that's what you have. It's a real thing. Also, at times, God can also cause physical infirmities. You know, you can look at the time when one of the kings to one of the prophets was wicked against him and stretched out his hand to seize him. And God caused his hand to shrivel up instantaneously. I know with me one time, we were having a fellowship meeting with the saints on Zoom. And in that, we were going, and there was some a command that God wanted done by the end of the day. And I thought it was already done, but apparently it wasn't. And God made it really clear earlier that it had to be done that day. So that would be midnight. And we were meeting in the evening. And it was probably like, you know, coming up on 11 at night. And all of a sudden, I got a really intense headache. And then I started having nausea in my stomach. And so I just paused the meeting, and then I asked one of my brothers. I said, you know, I believe I'm getting an attack, you know, a spiritual attack. I need you to command and cast out any demons. Command them to flee. And he did, and it didn't flee, and I was confused. So I was like, okay, I need to go before the Father. I need to talk to him more specifically, because I wasn't discerning, understanding why this was happening. God wasn't giving me the clarity. So I wanted to get specific dictated words from my Father. So I used one of the body members who has the gift of prophecy. And again, when you look at a body and how God explains it, when you look at 2 Corinthians, also I think the same thing is talked about in Romans. I said 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. When you go through and you read about the body from like chapter 11 through to chapter 14 in spiritual gifts, really 11, 12, and 14. And, you know, it talks about, right? Some you have members of the body that are eyes, others are the ears, others the hand, the foot, the mouth, the nose. How are you going to walk if you can't see and you don't rely on the body member who's the eyes? How are you supposed to hear if you aren't the ear and you don't rely on the body member that's the ear? How are you supposed to go somewhere and move if you aren't the feet and you don't rely on the body members that are the feet and the legs? God gives all these gifts, and he says, for the edification of the body. Much of the church cannot experience this because they don't have these gifts, because they're still deceived. Yes, they believe Christ, the gospel, the good news, and the Holy Spirit, but not in truth. Remember, the devil preaches those things. So you must take everything in obedience to the word of God, everything. So in this case, I went before the Father, and I said, Father, I don't understand why this affliction is here. Is this something separate that you're allowing? And I was thinking that it was something maybe that God was allowing as a test at the hand of, you know, of Satan or demons. You know, as you look at Job and what happened with him here. And God said no. He said, this is of me. And then he explained. He said, there is work that the body, that two members that were commanded to complete by the end of the day, by midnight. They have not completed the action yet. I'm doing this so that you will end the meeting to get your attention so that they can complete the work that I commanded them to do. I was like, oh, thank you, Father. And so immediately I ended the meeting. I said, you two men have to go complete the task in which God gave you that has to be completed today. They went and completed it. And as soon as they completed, I got a message. I'm thinking, okay, surely now there's no reason for me to be feeling this really nasty sickness anymore, because I was not feeling well. And the sickness didn't go away. I'm like, well, that's strange. It's like, well, let me try to just go to bed and it should be gone in the morning. I get up in the morning, still there. So now I'm confused. I'm like, okay, did something happen? Did I commit some sin of ignorance and not realize it? So again, I wasn't getting any specific conviction by God in my spirit, and so I was confused. I'm like, well, what is going on? And I didn't think to go and think that it was of the devil and you know, cast out or command any demons to flee, because I'm thinking, well, you know, it was God's hands yesterday. I just assumed it was God's hands still today, the following morning. So I went back before God. You know, I contacted one of the body members who has the gift of prophecy, and I went before God and spoke with God and was like, Father, you know, what, did I commit some sin of ignorance? He said, no. I said, is there something else? I'm just, you know, I don't understand. He said, this is not of me. He said, when he lifted his hand, right after the item was done, immediately, Satan used that to immediately come back to bring affliction and try to deceive me, thinking that it was still God's hand, and yet he just continued it, and I didn't even notice the transition. And so when God informed me that, I knew immediately what to do. I called up another body member. I said, David, I need you to command the demons to flee. And he did, and immediately all pain and sickness was gone instantaneously. So, you know, these are things that the devil is just so deceptive and tricky and uses every opportunity, even to piggyback on to something that God had done for good to get his will accomplished. And they come right in, and then I'm sitting there continuing to suffer, being distracted, not being able to focus on the will of God because of this. But thankfully, I went to my Father, because he's a loving Father, saying, okay, Father, I don't understand why this would even happen when I look at the promises for your saints. And God exposed what it was. So these are things that we just have to be aware of. Now, when you continue to look at this back to Job, right, where Job now has this physical suffering, in verse 11 through verse 13, he has three old friends that come to him, and they came to comfort him. Now, in verse 12, it says, when they lifted up their eyes at a distance and they did not recognize Job, they raised their voices and wept. And each of them tore his robe and threw dust over their heads toward the sky. And they sat down on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights with no one speaking a word, for they saw that his pain was very great. So this wasn't like some little insignificant affliction, physical affliction that Satan put on him. It was very painful. They didn't even recognize him. Now, here's the next deception I want to point out of the devil. If you've ever gone through and read the book of Job, you know that you have his three friends. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. And they go, and basically they go back and forth like three times. Job speaks, then his three friends speak, and they kind of go back, right, in three rounds. And when you read through their speeches, a lot of times, you know, you listen and they seem to be saying a lot of things about truth and about God and this. And some of the stuff that you look at, you're like, yeah, it is true. But then you also realize some of the things are not true. Now, how do you know that? Well, if you go to the end of the book, God says that they did not speak truth about him. That after God rebuked Job, because Job did sin in ignorance, when Job was like, you know, God, I have not sinned against you. Why are you doing this? Well, God got angry because God is just. Even if you did not commit a sin, God is still just and can cause adversity or trial to come upon you, which he allowed in this case with Satan. God's God. He can do whatever he wants. And Job didn't recognize that, and he didn't understand that. And so because of that, Job sinned in ignorance as he was complaining to God, saying, God, why is this? I don't understand. Let me have time to stand before you and explain, because what did I do? I didn't do anything. I'm undeserving of this. Well, no, God's God. He can do whatever he wants. But his three friends, even though they spoke a lot in certain truths of God, God said that they lied about him because they were not speaking the words of God. It was not the Spirit of God that was speaking through his three friends. As a matter of fact, the devil was working through them. I want to point something out specifically with Eliphaz and what he said. And in chapter 4. So Eliphaz says in verse 12, chapter 4, verse 12 of Job, listen to this. Now a word was brought to me stealthily, and my ear received a whisper of it. Amid disquieting thoughts from visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on men. Dread came upon me, and trembling, and made all my bones shake, and a spirit passed by my face, the hair of my flesh bristled. I stood still, I could not discern its appearance, its form was before my eyes, there was silence, then I heard a voice. Can mankind be just before God? Can a man be pure before his Maker? And it goes in and starts talking about giving instruction as he continues to speak, as if he's speaking for God. Because he thinks that God instructed him. Well, we know that God didn't instruct him. God says Eliphaz was a liar. He deceived. He did not speak anything right. That was a demon. You know, even in the New Testament, talks about people will be led astray by doctrines of demons, instructing people in the ways of how they're supposed to conduct themselves before God. And yet God says, no, they aren't listening to my words. And here, a demon spoke and gave vision. It says, can a mankind be just before God? Can a man be pure before his Maker? Well, Jesus says, if you don't have a pure heart, you won't see the face of God. And he goes and defines what a pure heart is, having no wicked thoughts anymore in your mind, because you've got a cleansed heart. The Psalms repeatedly talks about how can a man make himself pure in his ways, or how can he be pure? And again, it also refers to a heart being cleansed. And he now keeps his hands from doing any iniquity. He's able to overcome and turn from sin. As well as how can a man be righteous before God? But yet here again, The demons are going to lie. They're going to say it's not possible. Now, it's not possible for those born into the world with a bad heart before they're changed by God. God speaks to those people. He talks about the fools in Psalms chapter 14 that doesn't know God. There's none righteous, no, not one. It's the same one that's quoted in Romans chapter 3 that many people take out of context because they don't understand what's being said because they didn't read the whole story. But that's what the devil does. He'll even give people visions at night, speak to them, do things like that. And people don't understand these things. But I want you to understand. It's important. You continue to listen to the rest of the stories of the men and you read through Job carefully. You'll find and you'll see those things that they say that appear to be right, but they're only correct for the wicked man, not for the righteous man. And they take things and they twist, and they also falsely accuse Job that he had to have been living in sin, but yet he wasn't. So it's just something that you need to think about. You need to be aware. The devil is out there to tear down, to trick and deceive. If he can get people holding to a form of godliness and having no power, he wins. If he can get you to think that you're serving Christ, but you're still living and struggling with sin, how can you be serving two masters? Jesus said you can't be light and dark. He says you can't be the good tree and the bad tree. You cannot continue to have bad fruit. You cannot be light and dark. You cannot have leaven in you, not one speck. He says all leaven does is multiply. You can't sit there and say, oh, but I only have a little bit of leaven. Nope, you aren't unleavened then. You must go back to the Word of God. Now, for those who have questions, please contact me. Now, I am having a little difficulty accessing my email for the Warriors for Christ podcast, questions at Warriors for Christ podcast. So I ask that you use Warriors for Christ, YT, which is for YouTube. So it's Warriors for Christ, YT, @gmail.com. I'll put that in the description so that if you're trying to get a hold of me or you have questions, please use that email in the interim, and I'll get back to you because I want to help. I want to point you to Scripture. I want you to see what the Word of God says, because the devil is going to seek to deceive. I'm simply going to point to Scripture. If the Scripture doesn't say that, then don't believe me. But if it does, believe. If you have questions and you think that I'm not accurately handling it, then please ask your question. There may be other sections of the Scripture or parts that you're looking at that you're misunderstanding because you didn't read through the whole section. And maybe it's possible that there's something that I'm deceived on. Well, then please point it out. I don't want to be deceived. Let us be edified through this process by using the Word of God. Now let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, I thank you, O God, for your word. Your word is to instruct us. We're to go to it. Father, you and your spirit and those sent by you and your prophets, they aren't going to speak things contrary to your word. Your word is sure. It's holy. You don't change. Your ways are the same. You say the same gospel spoken in the Old Testament is the same gospel that's spoken to people today. We read that in the New Testament. Father, I pray that you'll convict people. Let them know that the life that they're living, a life of struggling of sin, that is not of you. You came to set people free. Your yoke is easy if they'll come to Christ and receive the same spirit and power so they can overcome. That is my prayer, O Father. Father, continue to draw people to yourself. Do the work that only you can do. Be glorified, O God, as you do your work. And you grow your body. And you equip your church by your spiritual gifts. No man can boast in that. It's a work that you only do. To glorify yourself. To strengthen the body. And to grow and to multiply. For it's harvest time. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.